was anyway, then thin. But now thinness was beginning to slip into a new state, scrawniness. What came after that? Emaciation, he supposed, and after that, something that still lingered just beyond the bounds of his imagination. He was not seriously worried about being hauled away to the funny farm. Such procedures took time. But the final conversation with Houston showed him clearly just how far things had gone and how impossible it was that anyone was going to believe him, then or ever. He wanted to call Kirk Pinchley. The urge was nearly insurmountable. Even though he knew Kirk would call him when and if any of the three investigative agencies the firm employed had turned up something. He called a New York number instead, paging to the back of his address book to find it. Richard Ginelli's name had bobbed uneasily up and down in his mind since the very beginning of this thing. Now it was time to call him, just in case.
Three brothers, the voice on the other end said. Specials tonight include veal marsala and our own version of fettuccine alfredo.
My name is William Halleck, and I would like to speak to Mr. Ginelli if he's available. After a moment of considering silence, the voice said,
Halleck.
Yes. The phone clunked on. Faintly, Billy could hear pots and pans crashing and bashing together. Someone was swearing in Italian. Someone else was laughing. Like everything else in his life these days, it all seemed very far away. At last, the phone was picked up.
William!
It occurred to Billy again that Ginelli was the only person in the world who called him that.
How are you doing, Paisan?
I've lost some weight.
Well, that's good, Ginelli said. You were too big, William. I gotta say that, too big. How much you lose?
20 pounds.
Hey, congratulations. And your heart thanks you, too. Hard to lose weight, isn't it? Don't tell me I know. Fucking calories stick right on there. Mixed like you, they hang over the front of your belt. Dagos like me, you discover one day you're ripping out the seat of your pants every time you bend over to tie your shoes.
It actually wasn't hard at all.
Well, you come on into the brothers, William. I'm going to fix you my own special chicken Neapolitan. It'll pull all that weight back on in one meal.
I might just take you up on that, Billy said, smiling a little. He could see himself in the mirror on a study wall, and there seemed to be too many teeth in his smile. Too many teeth, too close to the front of his mouth. He stopped smiling.
Yeah, well, I really mean it. I miss you. It's been too long. And life's short, Paisan. I mean, life is short. Am I right?
Yeah, I guess it is. Ginelli's voice dropped a notch.
I heard you had some trouble out there in Connecticut, he said.
He made Connecticut sound as if it was someplace in Greenland, Billy thought.
I was sorry to hear it.
How did you hear that? Billy said, frankly startled. There had been a squib about the accident in the Fairview Reporter. Decorous, no names mentioned, and that was all. Nothing in the New York papers.
I keep my ear to the ground, Ginelli replied.
Because keeping your ear to the ground is really what it's all about, Billy thought and shivered. I have some problems with that, Billy said now, picking his words carefully. They are of an extra-legal nature. The woman, you know about the woman?
Yeah, I heard she was a gyp.
A gypsy, yes. She had a husband. He has made some trouble for me.
What's his name?
Lemke, I believe. I'm going to try to handle this myself, but I wondered... If I can't...
Sure. You give me a call. Maybe I can do something, maybe I can't. Maybe I'll decide I don't want to. I mean, friends are always friends, and business is always business. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Sometimes friends and business mix, but sometimes they don't, am I right?
Yes.
Is this guy trying to hit on you?
Billy hesitated. I'd just as soon not say too much right now, Richard. It's pretty peculiar. But yeah, he's hitting on me. He's hitting on me pretty hard.
Well, shit, William. We ought to talk now.
The concern in Ginelli's voice was clear and immediate. Billy felt tears prick warmly at his eyelids and push the heel of his hand roughly up one cheek. I appreciate that, I really do, but I want to try to handle it myself first. I'm not even entirely sure what I'd want you to do.
If you want to call, William, I'm around, okay?
Okay, and thanks. He hesitated. Tell me something, Richard. Are you superstitious?
Me? You ask an old wop like me if I'm superstitious? Growing up in a family where my mother and grandmother and all my aunts went around Hail Marying and praying to every saint you ever heard of, and another bunch you didn't ever hear of, and covering up the mirrors when someone died, and poking the sign of the evil eye at crows and black cats that crossed their path? Me? You ask me a question like that?
Yeah, Billy said, smiling a little in spite of himself. I ask you a question like that. Richard Ginelli's voice came back flat, hard, and totally devoid of humor.
I believe in only two things, William. Guns and money. That's what I believe in. And you can quote me. Superstitious? Not me, Paisan. You are thinking of some other Dago.
That's good, Billy said, and his own smile widened. It was the first real smile to sit on his face in almost a month, and it felt good. It felt damned good. That evening, just after Heidi had come in, Penchley called.
Your gypsies have led us on a merry chase, he said. You've piled up damn near $10,000 in charges already, Bill. Time to drop it?
Tell me what you've got first, Billy said. His hands were sweating. Penchley began to speak in his dry, elder statesman voice.
The gypsy band had first gone to Greenough, a Connecticut city about 30 miles north of Milford. A week after they had been rousted from Greenough, they turned up at Pawtucket, near Providence, Rhode Island. After Pawtucket, Attleboro, Massachusetts. In Attleboro, one of them had been arrested for disturbing the peace and then had jumped his piddling bail. What seems to have happened is this, Penchley said. There was a town fellow, sort of a bully, who lost $10 playing quarters on the wheel of chance. Told the operator it was rigged and that he would get even. 2 days later, he spotted the gypsy coming out of a night owl store. There were words between them, and then there was a fight in the parking lot. There were a couple of witnesses from out of town who say the town fellow provoked the fight. There were a couple more from in town who claimed the gypsy started it. Anyway, it was the gypsy who got arrested. When he jumped bail, the local cops were delighted. Saved them the cost.